And Mookie hits one high and deep to left field. This ball's headed back. It is gone. A home run. Mookie Betts homers again against Duffy. And for Mookie, that's home run number 9. The Red Sox on the board. It's 3-1.
There's another drive deep to left. If it's fair down the line, hooking. And it is a home run. Mookie Betts gives the Red Sox the lead. 4-3 Boston.
And Mookie swings and he hammers it. Deep center field. Way back. It's gone. Third home run of the game for Mookie Betts. He's pulled off the hat trick again.
This is a club, like I told Danny after the game, this is a tough club to make mistakes on because they're gonna make you pay.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati in the studio with the Drake Jason Justice. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. Got Buster Olney coming on the show for you right at 7 o'clock. And so we will look forward to that. I believe, Nate, you've lined up a guest in the 8 o'clock hour that we can talk with.
Yeah, J.J. Piccolo, Royals Farm Director, is going to be on with us to talk about some of the prospects that hopefully will be a part of the Royals rebuild.
And then also we'll talk to Robert Mays from The Ringer, who covers the NFL, and talk to him about the aftermath, the fallout of the NFL draft and what he thinks of what the Chiefs did in the offseason and everything else with the NFL. And so we'll also talk about the Kansas City Royals as they're back in town today against the Detroit Tigers, the school day at the K. And so it should be we'll see. It's supposed to be school day at the K. I don't know. We'll talk to Gary Lezak at around 7:50. I know that our school, St. Gabe's, is waiting till around 8:15 or so. After they hear from Gary, it makes them they'll make a tough decision of whether or not to proceed with the field trip to Kauffman Stadium. I don't know if they're worried about the weather or they're worried about the kids' eyes being damaged by watching the Royals.
So. Ooh.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ouch.
No. No. No, Nate.
Yeah, no, I'll allow
it.
Is
the weather or not?
I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sorry for that, but they're 8-22. All right?
They are.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry. Or if you don't cry, you'll laugh, so pick your poison. After the Royals lost again, and Danny Duffy lost again, and then Danny Duffy was on Twitter. And it's never going to end well.
Nope.
It doesn't matter what you say because there's too many a-holes on Twitter for athletes to openly interact and not get. And if you're going to look for people that talk trash, where are you going to find them? And so, really, I mean, this is just my opinion. I mean, look, I use Twitter quite a bit. You do as well. You know, we deal with a lot of different people on Twitter, I would say. It's a good way of putting it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to find someone negative on Twitter, they're easy to find, and you can focus on that, and it can ruin your experience. And so, I mean, I'm glad that Danny Duffy's on Twitter. I think it's cool that he is involved in the community and interacts with the fans. But then if he gets into if he sees something he doesn't like, and then you engage the troll or you engage the person that's simply there just to talk trash, and then it ruins for everybody else. And so, look, Danny Duffy could do whatever he wants. And I do think it's cool he goes on there and, you know, admits that he's not been very good. I don't know if you saw all this.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
And so And there's something to be said for that, right? For being accountable. But it is social media, And so then you've got a vast majority of Royals fans that are cool and supportive and, you know, we got you, Danny. We love you, Danny. But just like with anything else, you're going to get a few that aren't supportive or take this opportunity. Hey, I'm gonna see if I can bait Danny Duffy into a Twitter fight or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you look for that, you focus on that, you shouldn't get involved in that, I don't think. Focus on the cool Royals fans and the people that are, I don't know, that are there to be civil and normal, right? The people on social media that actually treat social media like they do real life. Like, hey, if I'm going to say something, we talked about this, that's what I told the boys. If you're not going to say something in real life, if you wouldn't say something in a crowded room, then don't say it on Twitter, because Twitter is just a really crowded room, you know, and you're held accountable. Unless, of course, you have a fake Twitter name and just an egg as your Twitter profile, then I guess you can say whatever you want because you're not putting your name to it. But that's just my two cents. It was so Danny Duffy's on Twitter last night trying to talk about the start, and he's getting some negative feedback, and then he, you know, gets into that and retweeting that, and then all hell breaks loose, right? And then it's good, and then it's no good for nobody.
Right. I didn't get to it till after J.J. Spellmeyer's tweets had been deleted.
Oh, is that who it was?
I don't know. That's what the name says on here.
Well, I wasn't going to put his name out there, but...
No, he's...
Right.
I mean, he's out there tweeting, you know? I mean, that's...
Right.
And I don't know if that's... looks like he's locked his account, too, so... You can't look at his tweets now anyway. I'm guessing...
Tweets have been deleted.
Yeah, I'm guessing that a lot of those Royals fans that you mentioned that have said, hey, it's all good, Danny, we love you, probably came after young JJ, and he decided that he didn't want to take all the heat that he had brought upon himself, and so he locked his Twitter account and deleted the tweets, which is not uncommon for people that decide to come after people on Twitter and then realize that they don't want any part of it either.
And one of the tweets that for people that aren't, there's a lot of people that aren't on Twitter that listen to us. It's like, for instance, you know, my dad, I'll say something about Twitter, and he'll say, what? Twitter, huh?
What's that?
What did you just call me? Exactly. And so Danny Duffy's tweet, one of them, I am literally openly admitting that I've been awful this season. This is why we can't have dialogue. I bet you're the same kind of dude that complains about athletes when they are stoic. PSA, I've been the opposite of good. No excuses ever. And so that's, hey, look, that's Danny Duffy being open and honest, because guess what the truth is? He has not been good. He has been terrible. And he went 6 2/3 innings yesterday, 10 hits, 5 runs, a walk, 6 strikeouts. He's now 0-4 with a 5.63 ERA. It's bad. It's bad. And if you're an athlete and if you're performing at that level and you open yourself up on social media, you're going to get it.
Yep.
You're going to get it. And he should know that, because he's had his run-ins on Twitter before that led him to leave Twitter for a while,
mm-hmm.
which was disappointing, because I like when athletes are open on social media, or at least enough to have an honest dialogue with fans or tweet some interesting things out. I think it's good. I think it's healthy. It's really changed the way athletes get their message out. I mean, a lot like Travis Kelce does a lot through social media on his own and does fewer interviews than he used to. I mean, way fewer interviews than, like, you know, stars before him. But, you know, the Players Tribune, players write, you know, their own stories and break their own news, and things like that. I mean, look at all the, you know, football and basketball high school players that are being recruited. Now, where do they make their announcements most of the time? Or at least, like, if they're going to narrow their list down from 10 to 5, or if they're going to decommit, or, I mean, where's it at? It's on Twitter. They do it themselves. And so it's a cool way, it's a cool platform for athletes to interact, to get their word out and everything else, but it can go off the rails pretty quick. you know, if you let it, but you got to let it.
Yeah.
Because the negativity is out there. For anyone that's on social media, it's out there if you want to find it. Me and you have a debate about this, and just the way we handle it sometimes with social media. Like, hey, this you know, if someone says something just totally awful, I like to ignore it because who cares? Especially if someone doesn't put their name to it, and it's just like it's like nothing. If you can't put your name to something, and you're not putting who you really are behind what you say, like, then what does it matter? Then you're not really, because to me, no one is saying anything. So what do I care? Mm-hmm. But if it's someone that actually has their name and it's a real Twitter account and they have something they want to say, I'm happy to interact with them. Or, there's enough negativity in the world for me. I try to avoid getting in fights on Twitter once in a while. I'll go back and forth, and usually it's after a night of boxing or a fight where I just can't, and someone says something that I just totally disagree with, I can't bite my tongue anymore. And I like that. I like to talk with people during fights because there's a precious few of us that really, really love boxing. And when we do, it's like the secret society, like, hey, you like boxing? I like boxing too. Let's talk about it. I don't have any friends, stuff like that. That's me talking actually about the friend part. But I don't know. I just thought that was interesting last night, watching all that play out, knowing that look, you think he wants to suck? I mean, he loves Kansas City. He wants to be here. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's taking it harder than anyone else. Any fan out there, he's hard on himself. He's had a tough stretch, both on and off the field. But I feel like he's trying to, face it and not hide from it. It's just... it sucks for him and sucks for fans or whatever. When he tries to do that, then it ends up being a little Twitter spat. It seems like he wants to get off of Twitter then, and chases him away. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the question that comes from it, I'm with you. I love when players, athletes are engaged in social media, interact with fans, give us a window into the their world that we might not otherwise get. So I'm not... critical of Danny Duffy for being on Twitter. I love it. I do think the question becomes, does Danny Duffy have the mental and emotional maturity / fortitude to be a consistently successful player at the highest level of Major League Baseball? And I'm not just saying that because of Twitter, but I do think Twitter is an indicator of that in some ways. And everybody's different, and as you can tell, I never got to see the tweet by JJ, but clearly he says, I can tell you're probably one of those guys that gets mad. You're probably the same kind of dude that complains about athletes when they are stoic. So clearly JJ must have been complaining about him for being too emotional. Look, James Shields was emotional on the mound, and he used that emotion to fuel him and was better because of it. I remember talking to Ned Yost about that, and he said, look, it's really rare. Most players are not like James Shields in baseball. Most guys, if they get more emotional and more angry or whatever, it takes away from their game. It takes away from their performance. But James Shields was able to harness that and pitch better.
Yeah, what's Boddicker and Bluma, what do they always say about Jake Junis and why he's successful? Because he doesn't have any emotion.
Yeah.
He's really even-keeled on the mound, and he doesn't get too high or doesn't get too low. And they think that's one of the reasons why he's able to be so successful so early in his career.
He gave up 5 bombs to his last start, doesn't say anything, doesn't react, doesn't seem to let it faze him at all, and then walks back out there the next game and pitches a gem against Chris Sale and helps the Royals win a thrilling game. Remember Greg Holland? Greg Holland he'd give up a bomb, and he'd be there after the game talking about, like, yeah, I got rocked, And he just wouldn't – there just would be no reaction almost. And – especially in a sport like baseball. We talked to Brian McCray about that it's such a game of failure that you have to be able to manage. You have to be able to handle the highs and lows on a consistent basis. And Danny has shown a lot of things over his career. He walked away from the game once. He was young at that time. He's had injuries. He's talked about how emotionally he's been admired Jake Junis because he's been so much more mature than him. And then you get on Twitter after a bad one like this and you start getting into it with the fan, and it's like, it just makes you question, okay, man, are you cut out for this? Emotionally, can you handle this? And I know what you're saying. Like, I've engaged with fans more than you on Twitter when it comes to arguments and stuff. But
you like a good scrap.
I don't mind.
Said.
I don't mind a debate on Twitter or you know disagreements. I think that's kind of fun.
You like you said you like to give someone a good tongue lashing.
A good tongue lashing. But you know, like you meant, you used the word negativity, and there's
Drake. By the way, Drake's like,
what's that?
What's that? And Drake was unsure about that.
The tongue lashing.
Yeah. Well.
No, don't worry about it, Drake.
We'll explain later.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
But like you used the word negativity, and there's certainly too much negativity in the world, let alone social media. The way that I try to separate it when I'm not saying I'm doing it right, but in my mind, there's a difference. Like I enjoy like I get criticized on Twitter. That's fine.
You enjoy it.
I enjoy getting criticized.
I'll be honest with you. I enjoy that as well.
You enjoy
it,
yeah.
On Twitter.
You were criticizing
See,
me yesterday.
Look at all the common ground that we have. You're exactly. I was telling that to Susan the other day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Susan, I really enjoy when Nate gets criticized on Twitter.
Yeah, and I do too. So, but it's a matter of separating what's constructive versus what's just hatred. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If somebody
constructive
says,
criticism versus.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, you guys said this yesterday, and I think it's wrong right. because of that. And then I go, okay, well, you know what? He's got a point. That's constructive. But if you just say, you suck, I hate you, and you're an egg emoji with some weird name, that's not constructive. I can just ignore that and move on with my day.
Or if you're a co-host.
Well.
You know, I hate you. Why are you here? You know, things like that.
But yeah.
You don't want that kind of
I
tweet.
Get those tweets sometimes from.
Or if that's like from my boss, you know. You're terrible on the radio.
Boo. You suck.
Chad at 810. Like, what? Understand. Let's take a break and think about that. And you know what? Let's be very complimentary of Nate after all the criticism he's taken on Twitter.
Okay, I'll
right?
take it.
One right after another. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Ned Yost post game, his thoughts on Danny Duffy's outing and why Mookie Betts keeps getting pitches to hit. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll tell you what. Another really good thing a really good thing about Twitter is when there's bad weather like there was last night. And, I mean, it's a good way to keep up with everything. I mean, you're watching TV, obviously. But, I mean, some really great and useful and helpful tweets out there from people all around the city, what they're seeing. If they spot a tornado, if they, you know, hail or whatever else. And it's like, you know, following a storm like that in real time last night, I think, what are we up to? 10,000 people lost power last night. There was a tornado scene close to Belton High School. I saw one person tweeting out the damage to his house out south was significant. But thankfully, his entire family got out. And so hopefully everyone made it through safe last night. I mean, that was scary. We all heard sirens everywhere. I think it was worse south than it was north. But, I mean, conditions were right for a tornado, and it went from tornado watch to tornado warning. And I know many of the newscasts and people on Twitter and everything else were asking, I think Johnson County and then out in Belton and Grandview to take cover because of how bad it was last night. So, I mean, here we are talking about social media. It really a useful tool because I was watching Gary. I thought they did a great job, Gary and Jeff Penner, even though when Gary tried to steal Jeff Penner's spotlight at one point, he stood in front of him on the green screen, and apparently Jeff was getting too much airtime, too much TV time. So, and that was my favorite retweet. He's kind of stood in front of him and then disappeared. But hopefully everyone that's out there listening safe and I know if there's some damage, I know it sucks, but you can replace that as long as you're okay, as long as your family's okay. That's the most important thing. But that was kind of scary last night.
Yeah, it moved through pretty quickly. I saw a tweet from Sam Mellinger. He said, so apparently I was the 4-year-old. I was in the 4-year-old's room telling him he shouldn't be afraid of a little rain while the tornado sirens I didn't hear were blaring because I'm the dad of the year. We were in the same situation. Our kids were taking a shower, and I was getting them ready for bed, and my wife came upstairs and said, are those tornado sirens? And I couldn't hear them over the shower. And, oh, yeah, that's what those are. So loaded the kids up and went to the basement. By the time we got to the basement, had the TV on, the system had pretty much passed through our area. Luckily, there was nothing in Overland Park that was, you know, too severe. But
no hail or anything?
We had a little bit of hail, just a very tiny amount, and they were very small. What about you guys?
You know, it was just heavy winds and obviously the rain and everything else. So we could hear the sirens, but the sirens weren't supposed to be going off in the Northland. But someone said we could just hear the ones, the KCMO. So I don't know. I was so confused. So I just go to the basement. Everyone go to the basement.
Yeah.
And so, and I kept looking at the clock because first the storm was supposed to get to Kansas City or like in our area right around 9 o'clock. And my oldest son, Richie, was getting off work right at 9 o'clock. And so, of course, I go, great. He's going to have to drive through the storm. It's going to be terrible. But then they pushed it off a little bit. It wasn't supposed to get to our area until after 9:30. So that worked out okay. And then, like you said, it came through, but it was pretty quick, and it wasn't as bad as it was out south. Drake, anything in your neck of the woods? Any hail or damage?
You know, Prairie Village, the sirens went off, but evidently not all of Prairie Village. We could hear them, and you know, I think there was a little bit of hail, and you know, I'm not used to this morning thing, so I'd gone to bed at like 8,
right?
And then they went off, and I got up and went downstairs and. The kids refuse to put on shoes, and they're like, well, my feet aren't cold. We're like, no, 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 it's in case there's broken glass. They're like, what? I don't understand.
Die hard. I think I was in bed. So I waited until Richie got home. And so I was okay that he was home. And so like at 9:30, so I'm just going to lay down up here. And so then everyone in my family got mad. We need to go to the basement. I said, I will. If I think it's everyone else go to the basement, but just let Daddy lay down. I'm going to monitor Twitter. And then apparently I fell asleep. And so, not on purpose, but I mean, everyone was down there. And at that point, my temperament was not prepared for the screaming and accusations that would be going back and forth in that environment. And so I'll be down in a minute. And apparently I fell asleep like looking at Twitter. And I woke up and everything was okay. But Gary did a great job. We watched Gary for most of the evening.
So. Yeah, we did too. He was on top of it.
And I don't know what that means for today, so we'll find out officially from Gary Lezak at about 7:50 whether or not the weather's going to hold off for the afternoon game for the Royals, which takes place at 1:15 today, and all the grade school kids at school day at the K's. So there's going to be a lot of screaming and yelling. A lot of kids out there, and so it's important to make sure that it's going to be safe for them if they are to go out there and enjoy some Royals baseball. Let's hear from Ned Yost after the game last night. He talked about Danny Duffy. I mean, what do you want to say? I mean, he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't good enough to win and hasn't won a game yet. The Royals have not won a game that he started, right?
That's right.
And so he has no wins. Royals have no wins when he starts. Here's Ned Yost on Danny Duffy's performance.
And they weren't well-located pitches. I think the four homers that they hit were on two pull changeups, a slider that tried to go back door and was left out over, and a fastball that was supposed to be up and in, up and out over the plate. But besides that, I mean, this is a club, like I told Danny after the game, this is a tough club to make mistakes on because they're gonna make you pay. And Danny didn't make a lot of them. I thought he threw the ball really well, but just, you know, the two changeups that he pulled back into the, you know, the middle of the zone, they just hit it pretty good.
Here's more from Ned Yost. He was asked if he has any concerns with Danny Duffy, not just based on what he saw yesterday, but what he's seen so far this season.
I've seen his stuff sharper. I've seen his stuff sharper. I've seen his command more. Sharper, but what I see is Danny's stuff getting better and better and better every time he steps on that mound. Today, I thought it was the best stuff that he's had. He made a couple of mistakes, pulled a couple sliders, you know, I mean, pulled a couple changeups, hung a slider, mislocation on a fastball. But, you know, Danny, for me, in the seventh inning, I looked up, his fastball was still 93 miles an hour. It hadn't dipped down to 90. You know, I just think that he's getting just progressively sharper and sharper and sharper every time he gets his turn.
Doesn't feel like that, you know.
That was the positive Ned Yost.
I don't feel like that. Like after I watch Danny Duffy and think to myself, wow, he's getting sharper and sharper. I mean, better and better.
A 3-run lead.
You're not. You don't even try. He's trying to work the mic when you cough. Never happened.
He's not. I hit the cough button. Did it not work?
That cough button hasn't worked yet this week. In fact, there was one I think yesterday that amplified it. It made it even louder. Kind of like one of them yesterday. It was like a sound effect.
Wow.
Like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Like when he was in bed, he's.
I'll just turn away from the microphone then.
Nope. But, hey, I hope that's right. I don't have to tell you the results aren't there. We've seen pictures, their stuff isn't the problem. It's location, it's command, it's something. I mean, they haven't won a game that he started, and his ERA is in the mid-5s. So we'll see if Danny Duffy can bounce back. But the Royals, they had a chance to win the series with their ace on the mound. Some would say maybe Jacob Junis is the ace. I don't know, small sample size. But bottom line is Danny Duffy didn't get the job done. Neither did the Royals. They lose the series to the Boston Red Sox. They lose the game 5-4. They're now 8-22 on the season on their way home for hopefully some wins. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mookie Betts hit 3 home runs yesterday off the Royals. He's how old is he? 25 years old? He's not 26 yet, is he? You know, that's, you know how many games he's had? Have you seen that? Did you see that stat? How many 3 home run games he's had already?
Yeah, it was. I did see it now. I can't remember what it was.
4.
It's unbelievable.
He's already had 4 3 home run games.
More than Ted Williams.
It's unbelievable.
Like Big Poppy was tweeting at him, and David Ortiz, I don't think he ever had one as great of a hitter as he was. But so somebody, who was it? I think it was Billy Ripken last night on MLB Network. And he said, here's the deal. If I'm a pitcher, if Mookie Betts hits a home run off me in his first at bat, he's not getting a pitch the rest of the game because he's shown that he has something where he hits home runs in bunches. And now this is 4 games where he's hit at least, where he's hit 3 home runs. I mean, good God. But that, the last home run that Betts hit.
Oh.
That, what the hell was that?
I don't even know, like, I don't know how you blame Danny Duffy for that one.
No.
That was a 93-mile-per-hour fastball in the very top outside corner.
Right.
And he hit it about 440 feet.
Right.
Just, like, center field.
That was like a Kirby Puckett, Vladimir Guerrero, they'll swing at anything and still hit it a long way.
Yeah.
At bat. Let's hear the call on that last home run.
And Mookie swings and he hammers it. Deep center field. Way back. It's gone. Third home run of the game for Mookie Betts. He's pulled off the hat trick again. This kid is unbelievable. Mookie Betts makes it 5-3. He's just taken the American League lead in home runs with 11.
Man, it's not this easy.
His 4-3 homer game of his career. That ball ended up beyond the flagpole into that standing area.
I've had enough of Mookie Betts. Here's Ned Yost. He was asked if Mookie Betts should be in the conversation for best player in the league.
I see Mookie Betts six times a year. But, I mean, going on a 6-game look, special player. Special player. You know, to be, you know, in the conversation with Mike Trout, I don't know about all that, but he's definitely up there with the upper echelon for me players in this league. He's just a fantastic, talented, athletic, quick hands, great power, good swing.
How many times a year does he see Mike Trout play?
Right.
Like his first reaction is, I'm not qualified to say that. I've only seen him 6 times a year.
4-for-4.
Not as good as Mike Trout, though.
4-for-4 with 3 home runs. And right now his slash line for the season, he's hitting .365 with a .451 on base, an .823 slug.
That guy's my size.
Ew. Well, I think he's bigger than you.
He's 5'9", 180 pounds. I'm 5'8", about 179 pounds.
Do you think that Mookie Betts is Nate's size, Drake?
I'm not saying
might be a stretch.
I'm not saying we're proportionally.
I'd like to size you two up.
I'm not saying that that 180 pounds is distributed as evenly for me as it is for him. But
that's supposed to mean.
I'm saying his is probably a little more muscle and mine's probably a little more fat.
I don't think so.
But the point is we weigh about the same amount. He's an inch taller than me. I mean, that's crazy. According to what he's listed at.
I feel like Drake just pushed the challenge button on this one.
That's what it says here.
When's the last time you've actually been measured?
I weigh myself at least once a week.
That's fine. Measured.
What does that mean? You think I've gotten shorter over time?
I don't know what I mean. Because who told you that that's your 5'8"?
Every person's ever measured me since I've been
senior
high school.
That's what I just asked you. When's the last time you've been measured?
I don't remember.
People tend to lie about how tall they are.
I'm lying about being 5'8"?
No, but just, maybe yes.
You can start marking it on the door frame.
You don't think maybe you're 5'7"?
No, I think I'm 5'8".
Am I taller than you?
Maybe I'm 5'8 and a quarter.
Are we the same size?
Is that what you are?
I don't think I'm 5'8". I'll say, like, on my driver's license, I'm 5'10", and that's never been true.
It's possible, I guess, I've gotten shorter over time, but
And that does happen.
Yeah, because gravity, you know, exists.
What?
Gravity takes its toll.
This is going to a different level.
But I believe myself to be 5'8". Either way.
Where do you think this is headed? Why do you think I'm bringing this up on TV? I want you measured on live TV.
That's fine. I mean.
Can we?
My point is that I'm a very small person, and he's not. If he's bigger than me, it's not by very much. And he's got 11 home runs at the major league level. That's impressive.
I want to have you measured like you're the NFL scouting combine. Everything. And then we'll get to. And then when you. Yeah, tell this kind of story, then we know exactly what you measured in that.
Okay.
Would you be willing to do that?
Sure.
See for the show. People would like that.
I'd like to go on a diet first, but. No.
I'm just, here we go. Take some. You want to measure him? Bring Michael DiMaggio in here. Bring our intern. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. All right? See, now you're nervous. You may not be 5'8".
No, I'm not nervous. You want me to take my shoes off?
No. You know why? Do you walk around this town with no shoes on?
Yeah, but like the NBA Combine, they measure guys without their shoes on.
That's stupid, because guess what? Do they play without shoes?
No, they play with shoes on.
Here's what you need to do when you're measuring someone for your team. Have them put the shoes on they're going to wear on the field. Mm-hmm. Like, why are they barefoot? I don't understand that. We need you to measure Nate.
We're doing it right now?
That, he's so confused, he doesn't know what we mean by that.
Height.
Yeah. He's sitting here, wait a minute. I'm just an intern. I don't want to. See, Nate's getting all choked up. He got excited. Let's see here. And maybe you are 5'8". I don't know. I want you to be accurate. I want you to be like Gary Lezak, extremely accurate. Right now, the intern, Michael DiMaggio, is going to measure him with a tape measure. I don't know how accurate this could possibly be, but Drake comes through with us with the tape measure. What we got here? Don't give him anything. Don't give him anything.
Right, like, I'm not. This is the truth. He's 69 inches.
69 inches?
Hey!
We did it. I'm not going to add that up in my head. The divide, what is that? So what are you?
That's a good height.
I don't know how to do that.
69.
That's 5'9".
Are you 5'9"?
12 inches and a foot.
Is that right?
Wow, I've grown.
Well, see, there you go.
Growth spurt.
See, you're not 5'8".
I'm the same size as Mookie Betts.
There you go.
How many inches is he?
Right.
It says he's 5'9", 180 pounds.
See, but now you know.
Last time I weighed myself, I was 179.
So what have you been calling yourself? 5'8". You can call yourself 5'9".
Oh, man. If I had known.
But see, now you do. That's the whole point.
Yeah, now I'm going to walk around with my chest out just a little bit more. Now I know I'm 69 inches tall.
Right. That's a big deal.
Wow.
See, this is how this works. I bring something up. Drake runs and gets a tape measure. We got the intern in here. That's when we're hitting on all cylinders.
See what the shoes do?
Right. See, it's the shoes. Let me see what kind of shoes you got on.
The shoes get you to 69.
How thick of a sole do you have on those things?
Oh, not that thick. Adidas, those foam cushions.
I'm proud of you, see? You're the same
69
size.
69 inches
you're
tall.
You're the same size as Mookie Betts.
Wait till I tell Lezak.
Right. Well, I just wanted you to be accurate.
Well, I appreciate that.
So
the bottom line is me, Mookie Betts, same guy.
How many times do you hit three home runs in a game?
Zero times. I never hit a home run in a legitimate baseball game in my life.
You, do you hit one in an illegitimate game?
Well, I can practice. At Bishop Ward, the right field fence is very, 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 very short, and I was a left-handed batter, so I'd hit them all the time in batting practice, but I never hit one in a game.
I hit one when I was playing for Sons of Columbus against, was it Salinas? Off my friend Sam that was pitching. Sam Mount Leon was pitching.
Nice.
He was very angry. They hit a home run. That was at 3-2 Stadium out by Bannister Mall.
Mm.
Some great memories there.
See, but when I was a senior in high school, I weighed a whopping 135 pounds. So
right.
I didn't. Even when I made solid contact, it didn't exactly carry.
Some great memories of before my mom and dad got divorced. Of you hear my mom, Steve, he's almost up. Is this game almost over yet? I'm leaving. So. But he's going to hit now. I got to go. So, tell him to call me and tell me what he did. So, then I can just make up what I did. Hey, Dad, four home runs. Got to go. Bye. Whatever. Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have some people that want you to take your shoes off before you're measured.
Well, my guess is that I'd be 5'8" if I took my shoes off.
Well,
so
I think people just want you to go through the motions. Mark Boerichter tweeted in a picture that was taken from the roast over the weekend. I don't know if you can zoom in on this.
Yeah,
Drake. I don't even know. Like, I don't know where was. I think I was in the picture, but posing somewhere else. And I don't. You want to describe what's going on?
I was photobombing that picture, and I stuck my head between Dan Salyamua and Gary Lezak's legs.
Drake? Anything?
No.
Right. All right. So for the people on TV to see that, follow me on Twitter at SSJWHB. I mean, you look happy.
I was. It was a good time. Having fun.
Like, at that point right there, you look happy.
Well, it was.
You know. It was a good time.
Be on stage with that kind of star power.
A lot of people are very angry that we had the intern measure you. That could be a lawsuit, you know.
Well, we just measured how tall I was.
Got to be very careful. Buster Olney joins us at 7 o'clock. We'll talk to Gary Lezak about all the crazy weather from last night. And get us forecasts for today for all the people that are headed out to school day at the K and going out to an afternoon game with the Kansas City Royals. And J.J. Piccolo will join us at around 8:30. And we hope to talk to Robert Mays about football at 9:05 if somehow we can find his phone number. So. Hey, look, I'm trying to be like Danny Duffy. I'm trying to be open and honest on the air.
Yeah.
Jake went on vacation and booked guests, and some of them he gave us the phone number, others he didn't. So
we would call Jake to get his number, but Jake has thrown his phone away while he's on a 6-day meditation retreat. So
and so, and I challenged that yesterday.
Yep.
And I texted him. I said, "Let's see." I said, "I need Kevin Ioli's number because I want to talk to Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports about the Triple G fight."
Yeah.
And I got a text about an hour later. So, what's going on here?
Well, maybe you can text him again and get...
Well, I sent an email now. But I don't know, like, what's the time difference from where he
is? 5 hours?
So where is he, actually?
He's in Maui.
Okay, let me see here.
So it's about midnight there? Is that right?
No, he's just getting started.
2 a.m.? I'm terrible at math. About 2 a.m. there?
1:53 a.m.
So...
What do you think? If I text him right now, what do you think? 1:53 a.m. Maui time. What would be your guess?
I think it's a 50-50 coin flip. He's probably awake.
Oh, he's awake. That's not the. Will he answer?
I don't know. He told me he was throwing his phone away for the first 6 days because he was going to be in a meditation retreat. I can't imagine that the meditators there are real happy with him.
Now, what was the key part of the phrase that you just told me?
The meditators?
No. You said he told you that.
Yeah, he did.
Right.
Because then you're like, when did he say that?
Yeah.
I don't know. He said it last week.
I feel like he would have told me that.
He just didn't want me to text him.
Well, so I challenged what you said, so I texted him. How long? Let me see how long it took. Is this going to make you mad? I'm just, hey.
No, man, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him either.
I texted him at 10:23 a.m. I said, please text me Kevin Ioli's number. And then at 1:53 p.m. So maybe he has a break from the meditation. Right?
Well, like lunch break?
A little smoke break? I don't know what's going on. He didn't tell me all this stuff.
Yeah.
About the meditation and everything.
That's what he said, man.
He just kept telling me Maui Wowie. I was like, I don't know. I had to Google that, so I was confused.
Yeah. I told you I have to go all the way to Maui to get that, but he said...
What's that?
I told him you don't have to go all the way to Maui to get it, I don't think.
I mean, you know. You probably should, but...
Maybe.
We'll find out. We'll see. This will be a game that all the listeners can take part in. We'll see if Jake texts us back before Robert Mays is scheduled to be on the show. Or maybe we won't have Robert Mays on the show. Huh?
Yeah, we'll see.
The show's interactive today. Anyone else has Robert Mays' number out there? Send us a tweet. Back after this on WHB. Coming up on the show, Buster Olney, Gary Lezak, J.J. Piccolo, and Robert Mays. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.